to Genesis chapter 43. Genesis 43. And last time we saw that Joseph told these brothers of his to bring Benjamin back with him. Remember, he said, go back and get Benjamin, your youngest brother, bring him with you. And Judah said he would be surety for him. Now we come to this passage where Jacob, their father, is going to send them back. He's going to send them back down there to Joseph now. Watch this. Verse 11. We'll read to verse 17. And their father, Israel, that's Jacob, he said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise and go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin. And they rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, now there's our subject. When Joseph saw Benjamin, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay, kill the fatted calf, and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now, Joseph was only interested in one thing. He was only interested in seeing Benjamin with them. That's all he was interested in. And when God calls his child, the only thing God is interested in is seeing Christ. He's interested in seeing his son. That's what he's interested in. Coming before him in his son. Now, the first thing we see here is we're slow to learn that God's not interested in our gifts. God's not interested in what you can give him. Jacob, he said, take the best fruits in the land. Put these best fruits in your vessel. Carry this honey and these spices and this myrrh and this nuts and these almonds. Put the double money in your hand. Take with you that money that was in your sacks that you took the first time. Take extra money with you. And then he said, and then take Benjamin. Take him with you. And then, what did he do? And then he said, and God Almighty have mercy on you. The key in this passage is Jacob, he's sending gifts. He's sending a payment. And at the same time, he's saying, God Almighty have mercy on you. Those two don't go together. Our gifts, our works, our attempting to earn God's favor and God's mercy, they don't go together. Look over Titus. Titus chapter 3. Listen to this. Verse 5. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You see, they don't go together. Not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That we're being justified by his grace. It's all grace and mercy, see. You can't be of works and be of grace. If it's of works, it's no more grace. If it's of grace, it's no more works. And I think this is interesting, too. Joseph didn't tell them to bring him the best fruits of their land. He didn't say, bring that to me. They're in a famine. Don't you think that's funny? They're in a famine. They're needing bread from Joseph. And they're going to take honey and almonds. They're going to take food and give it to Joseph so Joseph will give them food. You see, that's like a man trying to come to God thinking he's got some righteousness of his own, and he's going to offer that to God, try to get God to give him righteousness. That don't even make sense, does it? You see what they're doing? They're taking these fruits down there. But he didn't tell them to put the money back in their sacks. He didn't tell them to do that. He's teaching them like Christ is teaching his people. You know what he told them to bring? Benjamin. That's all. Bring me Benjamin. That's what he wanted. But they didn't have any thought other than, we gotta secure this food from Joseph by purchase. We gotta purchase it. And that's us by nature. We can't get to a point where we realize by nature. If we just left her, we cannot realize salvation is not, it's not to be had by a payment, by your works. It's free. It's free. Whenever you, you hear me talk about works and trying to be saved by, be accepted of God by your works. For instance, you do something and you come under conviction. And you fall under conviction and you know it's sinful, something you did. You see that. You see it. And next thing you know, you're trying to make up for that. Trying to do something, work extra hard to make up for that. That's works. That's works. God says, repent from it. Come confessing your sin to Him. Bow down to Christ. Come with Christ. That's what God's interested in. But we are slow to get this. We're Pharisees all our life until God quickens us and brings us to Christ, robes us in His righteousness. And it's hard to stop being a Pharisee. We get so self-righteous sometimes. You know, especially if you start watching the news. How could they do that? That's self-righteousness. It's so easy. But you know what God does? He saves us. He saves us and shows us mercy in spite of our sinfulness and our self-righteousness. That's what He does for His people. That's what He does for His people. And it teaches us to be merciful to one another because of His mercy. You remember Paul dealt with that over in Romans 14. Look over there. Christ came and He went to the cross and He finished the work of redemption. And that veil in that temple rent in two. And it was declared loud and clear that salvation is not by the works of the law. That whole covenant was fulfilled by Christ Himself. But those that truly were called of God and truly believed God and were resting in Christ, they were so slow to let go of that law. They kept thinking, we can only eat certain things. These are true believers. And some others were more sound in the faith, and they knew they were free and complete in Christ. They didn't have to pay. They didn't have to observe those dietary laws. None of that's necessary. So how are you going to deal with it? You got a true believer, but he's got so much of this self-righteousness in him. What you going to do? Look here, Romans 14:3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. Here's the key. God hath received him. God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? He's God's servant. To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he should be holding him up, for God's able to make him stand. I point that out because Jacob here, you know how much Jacob had seen that God had done for him? I mean, we saw him go through that wilderness and end up back at Bethel, all the things that happened to him. And here he is mixing his gifts and his efforts and saying at the same time, now God have mercy on you. God be merciful to you. You see, but he's still God's child, and God saved him in spite of his sin, in spite of his self-righteousness. That's free grace. That's free grace. You know, we can get the fact that we're not under works, but then when you turn around and condemn a weak brother who doesn't see it as fully and understand it as fully, that's just as much works as... You see what I'm saying? But free grace says God will make him stand. God called him. God chose him. God redeemed him. God will make him stand. God will teach him. Make him stand. But isn't it funny? Boy, they took all those fruits down there. Joe, think about it. Joseph's down there. He's got the key to the storehouse. He owns... He's got all power in Egypt over everything. And they're going to bring him some almonds. God is righteousness. He's holiness. He's wisdom. He owned everything. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. We're going to carry him some of our little almonds and give it to him. He's not interested in that. All right, let's see. What's he interested in? He's interested in Christ alone. That's how God's going to receive sinners, in Christ alone. Now look at verse 15. Benjamin here, I'm looking at Benjamin as a type of Christ. Watch what happens. And the men took that present, they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin. And they rose up, went down to Egypt, stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin, he doesn't say Joseph saw the money, he didn't say Joseph saw the fruits, he doesn't say any of that. Who did Joseph have his eye on? Benjamin. He saw Benjamin. That's the only one he was interested in. See, Benjamin was Joseph's full brother. These other boys is his half-brother. They have the same father, but not the same mother. But Benjamin's his full brother. And he hadn't seen that boy in 20, 25 years. Now, who do you think, just sentimentally speaking, talking about the love of our heart, who would you have your eye on? Some gifts these fellows are bringing, or that brother? Which one? You see, that's God's yearning. His heart is for his son. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. So you think he's gonna take his eye off his son and the righteousness and the holiness and the immaculate glory of his son and look at some little works we're trying to do to be accepted with God? No. He's looking for Christ. Looking for Christ. When he saw Benjamin, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and kill and make ready, for these men are going to dine with me at noon. That's all he saw was Benjamin. Benjamin. Let me show you some scriptures. John 14. Here's my point. John 14 and verse 6. The Lord said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see it pictured in our text. The only way they could come into Joseph's presence was by Benjamin. That was it. If they didn't have Benjamin, he wouldn't have invited them to his house. No, sir. But they came with that one. We can only come to God with Christ. Look over at 1 Timothy 2. And look at verse 5. There's one God. That's who we're looking at Joseph right now as a type of God the Father. There he is. There's one God. And there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Benjamin's standing there as that mediator. He's that one. Because of him, Joseph's going to receive them. And Christ, because of Christ, God will receive his people. But only in Christ. You can't come with your works. You've got to come in Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. That's Acts 4:12. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, it's not a maybe, it's a must. We must be saved by Christ and Christ alone. I want you to see one more scripture. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7:25. Look at that. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. How do they come by him? He makes intercession for them. If I'm going to come by Christ only, you know how I'm going to do it? Because He made intercession for me and continues to make intercession for me. And He'll keep making intercession for me. And He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. Now, what's this thing of believing on Christ? What is that? What is that? Is there something to do? Is there something? Faith's the opposite of works. It's the opposite of works. Trusting Christ is trusting another to be the person that's going to present you to God. And in all His works are going to stand, be my works. Faith's the opposite. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10. And look at verse 1. Paul's talking here about the Israel, you know, and he says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge." It's not true. They're not saved. They're not saved, he's saying. They're religious as they can be, but it's not according to knowledge. Why? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Being ignorant of God's righteousness. Are you ignorant of God's righteousness? What do you think of when you think of God's righteousness? Think of the law? Think of works? Think of something you got to do? Here's what God's righteousness is. Look. They're ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Christ is. Christ is the righteousness of God. Now, how do I have Christ? You see, works here, Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. That means you got to do everything in the law. Tell me what the 645th law is of Moses is. I bet nobody here knows that. I don't know what it is. Well, then I hope we're not trying to come to God in the law. Because we don't even know what the law is. See what I'm saying? But to come to God by law, you got to do every jot and tittle of that law. Dot every I, cross every T. But how do I come with Christ? Look here. But the righteous, verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart who's going to ascend into heaven or who's going to descend into the deep. It's not something to be grasped at. There's not something that you got to ascend up high or run to this depth to get it. That's what he's saying. Look here. Verse 8. But the word's nigh thee. It's near you. Even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I love this verse. Watch this. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see how opposite salvation by works and salvation through faith in Christ is? You see how different? So it's as different as coming down there with those fruits trying to get Joseph to notice you because you got all these, I got this honey and these almonds. But the only one Joseph's interested in is Benjamin. That's it. That's the only one. God's not interested in your righteousness or mine. He's interested in the righteousness of His Son because that's His righteousness. All right, now look, here's the last thing in our text. When God draws us to Christ, and He truly makes you to lay hold of Christ, you're going to find this out. Christ has already done everything. He's already made everything ready. There's nothing else to be done. No other works to be done for acceptance with God. It's done. It's finished. That's what Christ did for His people. Look here at verse 16. Genesis 43:16. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, and this ruler of his house, this steward, I believe is a picture of Christ. It's a picture of God, the Holy Spirit. He said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and kill and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Joseph said, you prepare a feast, and these men are going to dine with me at noon. And so Christ is the one who prepared the feast. He's prepared the feast. Remember that parable he said about a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. You don't invite somebody to your house and have them come into your house and then say, now, will you cook dinner for us? You have it all ready. And they come in, what I bring? Just come hungry. Sit down and dine. That's all you got to do. And that's what Christ says. When he bids you come, you're coming. He's not going to just tug at your heartstrings. He's going to take control. And he's bringing you. And when he brings you, you're going to find out, I have full, complete righteousness prepared, ready-made. I got holiness already prepared. I got acceptance with God. I've got the wisdom of God representing me. There's no condemnation now. It's all finished. It's just come eat and dine, he said. Just come down. See, he's the provider. He's the provider. He's salvation. He's everything we read about in the Scripture, righteousness and holiness and wisdom and redemption and forgiveness, life, all these things. He's Christ. He is these things. He is these things. Now, listen to John. This is the record. Here it is. This is the record. That God hath given, freely given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. It's in His Son. He that hath the Son, he that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that has not the Son of God hath not life. Are you trying to come to God with your almonds, or are you trying to come to God in Christ? Come to God in Christ. Alone. All right, let's stand together. Father, we thank you as we try to draw near and try to hear and understand. We pray you'd make it effectual. Pray you would truly teach us in our heart by your Spirit. Give us an unction from on high, that we might really believe you, rest in you, trust you. Lord, robe us in Christ's righteousness. Make us, purge us inwardly so we can see him and behold him and know what you've done for us in him. We ask it, Lord, for your glory and honor. In Christ's name, amen.